I was using the NIV for that story because the NIV uses rescue. And the other version that we use is the ESV, and it has save, which is the same concept. But anyway, I had to grab the ESV so we can take a look at that version today that Chris just read to us. It's a short verse, right? It's a short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. And actually having one verse kind of ties in with the message today that we're looking at in this verse of the Bible for us. I was praying and thinking about, you know, this sermon and the name for it and how to express that best. And I felt that the art of taking nothing for the journey was the best way to describe that, because actually I was thinking of a beautiful poem by George Herbert, who is a pastor and also one of the greatest poets who ever lived. If you ever have a chance to read his poetry, had a very small parish in England, but the Lord used him and blessed him by writing poetry that really inspires us and lifts us into a place where we highly regard God. I think that's where, you know, that whole idea comes. He was talking about how God would come in his spirit and his sweet art. And that elevates us, not just to think about when we're going out as disciples, that we are just going out and doing this work, and, you know, it's this job that we're doing, and it's a very important one. But we are being encouraged by God today that we are representing the King of the universe, that we are going and serving the Almighty God that rescues people like Daniel from the jaws of lions. This is not some ordinary power, or it is not just some task that we do, but it is the art of taking nothing for the journey, the high art of serving our King. And so this is the attitude of our hearts when we go and we minister to people in the world and we talk to them. It's to come into their situation with the love and the compassion and the beauty of God, so that they will also feel and experience the art of God and all that He is. It is important for us to take each life that we approach very seriously and very carefully and also very lovingly, and that will be then representing God in the way that He is to people. And so it is the art of taking nothing for the journey. Give me one second. I gotta get organized here for a second. And so Chris read this verse, and he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics." And so what was happening here is that Jesus sent the disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. It's the verse before that. He sent his disciples out, right, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Right? So there's healing involved in this, and this is something that we've been praying for in our church, right? And so we want to pay attention to that fact. But then he says, take nothing for your journey. Right? I was reading a really great commentator's view on this chapter, and, you know, I don't think he was meaning it in a funny way. But he said he was encouraging and telling the disciples to pack lightly, right? When you go on a trip, if you're like me or anybody else, probably you're thinking about making a list. Okay, what are we going to have to take on this trip where we're going? And then ultimately you say, oh, I forgot. I forgot to pack that, you know, because we're so worried about everything that we're going to be doing on the trip, and we're trying to pack everything, and then ultimately we might leave something behind, and we feel like, oh, no, what are we going to do? And Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to go out, and I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God. I want you to go and tell them about me, about the Son of God coming down from heaven and being the Messiah to save people from their sins. and that the truth has come after all of this prophecy. I want you to tell them those things. I want you, but when you go, I don't want you to bring anything with you. That's all you need. And so when we think about that, I think it's really helpful for us to ponder, you know, the brevity of this verse. It's only one verse, right? But in that verse, that one verse, we have enough. And so ultimately what this verse is telling us when we are not to bring for the journey, we don't bring anything for the journey, no staff, like a staff to walk with, or a bag or bread or money. You don't have to have and do not have two tunics. Go as yourself, right? Trust in God. And that is the theme that we have today, of trusting God fully with our lives. And it's an encouragement from God today. This is a very encouraging word in something that is very demanding, that will help us to feel the peace that God gives to us when we fully trust in Him and have faith in Him alone. There are different things that we feel that we need on a trip, you know, luggage, clothing, American Express card, you know, things like that, that we are going to pay for along, because we're going to need a place to say, that wasn't what Jesus said to do. He said, go out there and you're going to be, depending on me, I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to take care of your needs, where you're going to stay, what you're going to eat. I'm going to provide that all along the way. Now, imagine if you were to go on a trip and you'd say, let's just go there and let's see where the Lord leads. Just leave all the money, the cards home, the credit cards home. We're just going to set off. There was a guy when I was in Germany. I met this young man. I was probably about the same age as he was, maybe a little bit older. I'm not sure. But when we lived in Germany, Lee Chung and I were pursuing careers as opera singers, but we joined a church there, and it was actually an American military church that had a German church within it that we eventually started to attend. So I got to know the pastor of the church, this American guy, and also a lot of people that were serving in Germany during that time, you know, they're stationed there. And I quickly saw that there was a purpose in their lives to serve Christ, not just merely to meet in a building there that had been there for many, many years since the war, but that they were there with a purpose to be able to spread the gospel. And so one day they said that they needed a team to go to Romania. Now this was around the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall, 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell and there was all these borders were being opened up where people were once living separated from communist countries and the Western countries. And all of this was going on when we arrived there. And Romania was one of those countries that had been freed. There was an uprising, there was a rebellion, and everybody said, we want to be free now, we don't want to live under this dictator. Ceausescu was the guy who was in power there. And so they killed him, they got rid of this man who had really been abusing his people. And they said, we need to go to Romania because there are orphans there who have been taken away from their families in order to sell them to other countries. That was what the government was doing. And so we set off on this journey there, and we spent about 10 days getting there and preparing, and then we went through Romania, and we preached the gospel there in the center of the main city in Romania. Many different things that happened. But one of the things that happened along the way was that I met this young man. He was an American who came over, and he was in Europe and taking part in this team to go to Romania. And I asked him what he was doing, you know, what he was about. And he said, well, actually, I'm a missionary. I'm in France. And I said, well, so what organization are you with? And he said, I'm not with any organization. I said, well, how do you get support? And he said, well, I'm not getting support. You know, so one thing after another, it was slowly describing the person that we're reading about here that Jesus is describing. He said, I just felt God wanted me to go to France and spread the gospel. And so he did. he went and he had no place to stay and he didn't have any real money or things like that to take care of himself. He just went basically trusting God would provide for his needs. And he learned the French language there and he began to live there and to preach the gospel to people there. I had never met anyone like that before. But it is possible for people to do that. But we have a lot of luggage, right? We have a lot of luggage. We feel like we're not ready to do that. That's too big of a step. How can we do that? Now, there are many organizations that exist that we can be a part of and that, you know, you can join with, and those kind of organizations we support in our church, and they're great. But what we're talking about and what God is wanting for us as a church today to learn is to trust in him so that we would go when he calls us to go. And he calls us to go right here, doesn't he? Right? He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And then it goes on from there, but I want to concentrate, and there are things that we can learn from the next verses as well, but I really want to focus in on this one verse so that we can learn what God would have us to know. I was praying to God, kind of struggling as I was preparing for the sermon, and I kind of felt a little bit unsure, you know, of what God wanted me to say. I knew what I wanted to say, but I also wanted some direction. And he led me back to a book that I have been promoting. It's actually a little booklet called God at the Center by Luis Palau. Luis Palau is a man that you'll hear a little bit about today and his journey. But he was someone who went and began to do what God called him to do as a missionary and as an evangelist. But he wrote down some very important things for us to consider as we go out, and we're going out to spread the gospel and be God's witnesses in this world that we live in. One of the things that he mentions, I'm going to mention a few things here, but the first one that he mentions is that cultivating dependence on God. And that's something that young people, you guys are young, you're going to want to, as disciples of God, cultivate a dependency on God. Not on things that you can achieve on your own in your own powers, but to actually pray to God that he would take away everything so that he is the one that is the focus in your life. And that's challenging, but it's possible because God has called you and he loves you and he knows what's best. But it's for all of us the same thing. So the first thing he says is we need to claim God's promises. And this is where I started to feel like, yes, Lord, thank you. That's what I need to say. This is a good beginning. We were just singing about that in that song, the goodness of God, right? You remember the words to that, the promises of God? Right? And that's the way God works. He works through, I didn't know Lee Chan was going to choose that song. But many Christians, he writes, have trouble believing the promises of God. They sound nice and sometimes they even cheer us up, but we wonder, are they really true? So anyway, we want to believe in the promises of God. And he says any of God's promises that we can claim in Jesus' name are guaranteed and will be performed for us by God for his glory. That's in the Bible. Any of God's promises that we can claim in Jesus' name are guaranteed and will be performed for us by God for his glory. What is the need of your heart today? The Lord has promised to meet that need. Simply take him at his word. And I think that's a good place to start. Are we taking God at his word? Go and take nothing with you. I know where you're going. I know you're thinking, but Lord, what about where I'm going to stay? What about the food? What about the direction? Where am I going? What am I going to do? Yes. Go. take nothing with you. Do we take him at his word? Right? Just think about that. If somebody tells you something and you're going to do it, I mean, have you ever given someone advice, maybe your child or someone else, and they go, that's a really good thing. And then you see them doing something completely different. And you're like, oh, wow, I wish that they would listen to me because I really feel like I know what they need to do there. And but God is different. He's on a whole different level. He's saying, I know exactly what I'm doing. I gave you your life, and I'm going to use you for my glory, and I have designed it this way that you are to be a witness for my kingdom and to heal people in their lives. What are you going through in your life right now? There are things happening in our church where people are distressed. They're going through some problems, major problems. God promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. Does he not? But the wave of the things that we're going through take over our minds and it fills us with doubt. And God is saying, trust me. Have faith in me. I know what you're going through. I know this looks really, really hard. And I know that it's going to be hard for you to go through this unless you have me. If you have me, then there's nothing too much for you to go through. In fact, I will bring meaning into that situation that you never could have had on your own. Take God at his word. Can we say that? Take God at his word. Believe. Now, Jesus told them to go out and heal, right? Do we take God at his word when we read those words and we are called as his witnesses to go and proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal in Jesus' name? Do we take God at his word? Right? You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. The words of Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Do you face a difficult situation, my friend? He writes, God has not allowed this challenge to come into your life to discourage or defeat you. Every trial you and I face is an opportunity for God to demonstrate that he is the one we can always depend upon no matter what. I love that. This is great. You know, this is the kind of thing that we need to go out with, right? If you're going to go out somewhere and you're not taking anything with you, prepare yourself in the Word of God. Prepare yourself in the Word of God, okay? A lot of things he said, I can't say all of it today, so I'm going to keep moving. Then he talks about practicing obedience to God. These are things that we need to be aware of in our lives and make them as important as making a list to go to ShopRite to buy the food that you're going to eat. Am I practicing obedience to God? And he says it begins, right? The first step in practicing obedience to God is to experience his forgiveness. Confess our sins. To admit to our sin. We were talking about this word, to admit to our sin and also our need of God when we were doing ESL class the other night. To have a willing spirit to obey, to admit that we need God in our lives. Are we practicing obedience to God, right? Ask him for forgiveness. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So we need to practice the confession of our sins and receiving God's forgiveness of our sins in our lives. That is obedience, right? It's obedience. It's this word that actually, the more that we learn about it, it becomes a beautiful thing to practice because it is freeing us from things that are keeping us down. Right? I have to practice that with my wife. I have to practice that in life. I have to listen to other people when they're talking to me, because God is behind these things that are going on, and he's teaching us also through life experiences in our lives that we need to listen to other people who know what is good for us and do what? Do it. Right? So it's very freeing, actually, and it's a beautiful thing. So if we're going to be ready to go out in this kind of a way and spread the gospel, we want to make sure that we are confessing our sins and that we are one with God in that way. Right? The other part, I was telling Marissa that it's exciting because he was writing about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments is something that we have studied in our adult Bible study and in the life prep class, and again, there's a chapter today, but we need to be familiar with and really know God's commandments. He said, the purpose of God's commandments is to lay a foundation for us on which to build a life of love, freedom, and obedience. Let me say it again. The purpose of God's commandments is to lay a foundation for us on which to build a life of love, freedom, and obedience. And so we're going to learn what it means to trust in God and go out when he calls us to go and to rely fully on him. It's through obedience to God and his commandments, which are meant for our good. Right. Okay. Psalm 119:35 says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. And that is what we really need, to understand that the commandments of God are not a drag. They are awesome. And the servants of God that go out in obedience to God understand that they are not their own. They belong to God. And they serve a master who they obey. And his commands are made for us. They are designed for us to grow and to have freedom and to know what love is. Right. So the next part he talks about is serving God and others. And there's a couple of things. This is really maybe the emphases today as we come to the close of this talk on this verse, right? And to go and to trust God for providing our needs. Luis Palau said that he was at a chapel service before Christmas break, and a speaker was a man named Ian Thomas, and he was the founder of the Torchbearers in England. And his theme for his sermon was, any old bush will do as long as God is in the bush. Any old bush will do as long as God is in the bush. And so he's talking about, of course, this bush that was in the desert, and Moses was there, and God, Moses noticed that there was a fire, and he went closer, and there was this bush that was not burning up. Right? It was on fire, but it was not burning up. And so the connection that he made with that is that he was like a bush, right? An ordinary bush, and he could do nothing for God, and all of his reading and studying and asking questions and trying to model himself after other people was worthless. Palau says, everything in my ministry was worthless unless God was in me. No wonder I felt so frustrated. Only he could make something supernatural happen. And so he was humbled by this sermon that he heard, the word of God preached, and he said, that's me. I'm trying to do it all on my own, right? But then the speaker said, here is the word of God, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that is what we are remembering today, that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sakes, and that he died for us to have eternal life so that we would be forgiven. And now we are to say, I have been crucified with Christ so that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So he takes and he removes those things where we feel that we're going to be able to do things on our own and take care of our needs, right? Getting rid of the credit cards, getting rid of the checkbook, getting rid of the talents that we possess, getting rid of all these different things that we think are going to be able to take us far in life. And this is the basis for our belief in God, right? To say, God, I have sinned against you. Forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and remain there so that I will know that I am on the right path to life. I want to make you center of my life. I want you to have full control. And therein is the teaching of Christ most vividly seen. And when we go, if we were to go out, then we would know that we are not in our own power going out to do things for God, but we are in Christ and Christ is living in us. Another word that he said was very helpful. This verse struck him and it bothered him because he couldn't believe it. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Do we claim the promise? It was a problem to Palau. He was like saying, wait a minute, greater things than Jesus? How is that possible? Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And so he was intimidated by that verse and he was thinking, how can I do that? And it's because Jesus was promising him the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come into him and he would be given that power, right? And then Christians would form around the world in different nations and they would be reached with the gospel on a greater level than Jesus did, because his whole reason for coming was to die and to pay the price for our sins, to free us from sin, to conquer death, return to heaven, and send the Holy Spirit from the Father. And so that was what he was referring to. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Because Christ was going to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit to indwell us. Now that the Spirit indwells us as believers, Christ does his works through us. So it's God living inside of us, right? And then the other part is that there's this belief, right? Belief in me will do the works that I have been doing, right? We will do the works that Jesus is doing, and he says even that there would be greater things done through his people on earth. Do we take his word to heart? Do we believe the promises of God? Do you believe God when he speaks to you, that what he says in his word is truth, right? The final thing that I want to mention today was something that Luis Palau's mother spoke to him. I had this feeling that they were really close. They were really, really close, but she was full of ideas. And I remember him saying that when he was taking off to leave Argentina, he was born in Argentina, and he came to the United States and he had this big mission, you know, and a very successful evangelism like Billy Graham had. But anyway, he said, my mother had many, many things to say to me at the airport before I got on the plane, you know, like any good mother would. They, you know, remember you do this, remember to do that. But she actually told him many godly things that stayed with him. Not just practical things, but the things that were most important to him was her faith in Jesus Christ. She told him and his friends when he was a teenager, come on, you don't need a special message from the Lord. He gave the order centuries ago to preach the good news to everyone. So go. Don't keep waiting for more instructions. Amen. Don't keep waiting for more instructions. Now, instructions are very good. God gives us the Bible to instruct us on what we are to do. But there's a point, if we're honest with ourselves, that it's an excuse that we just want to keep learning. I'm still not there yet. I know. God's saying, no, I told you, I want you to go. Yeah, I know, but I still feel like I need this more, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. We can apply that to all kinds of things in our lives, can't we? Right? I'm not up to that task that the church is asking me to do. There's no way that I could do something like that for the church. There's no way that I could step in and do something for God. I'm too busy. I have too many things to do. I have all these things and bills to pay, and I have all, right? And I think that that's what he's talking about when he says, don't keep waiting for more instructions. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through his mother. And he remembered her in this pamphlet, so it had to have been important. And so he just went. He got on a plane and he went to the United States. God calls us to go. When he calls us to go, we want to claim his promises as truth. Take him at his word. And if someone comes and tries to interrupt you and say, I need you over here though, and what about this? And what about that? Then you just say, I'm taking God at his word. I can trust that what you're saying to me is very important. And if it's God's will, that will happen in its time. But he's telling me right now in my life, I am his witness. And there are people in the world that are dying because they don't know Christ. Right? He goes on later on in this pamphlet to say, we need to build up compassion and not be unaffected when we read about people that are dying. Literally dying in the world without having even heard about Jesus and the same things that we have. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? And so I don't want to lighten that message, okay? I want that to be the message, but I do want to let you know that God is a very loving and compassionate and patient God, and he waits for us, but he will not stop to remind us of what it was that we were to do. And he brings it about in many different ways, and I cannot tell you how he's going to do it in your life. I could tell you about my own life if you want to hear it sometime. You know, the different things that happened and how I didn't obey. People ask me all the time, you know, how come you're a pastor later in life? And I think, without trying to be cute, I just tell them because I wasn't obedient. I knew what I was supposed to do when I was a younger man, but I didn't do it. But God in his grace is patient with us, and we do things along the way, and then he helps us to be able to see the importance of those things. But the best thing for us to do is to do it immediately, to act upon it, and trust that he's going to provide all of our needs. Right? He's going to provide all of your needs. He gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives people in your life that you meet throughout your life that are going to support and say, we're meeting because God has arranged this meeting. You know, God puts us in occupations and also allows things to go wrong, all a part of his plan of teaching us what it means to be a follower of Christ and a disciple with the equipment that we need to go and to preach the gospel. And so just to review, brothers and sisters, a couple things, right? Believe the promises of God. Simply take him at his word. When you hear or you read something in the Bible, you may struggle with it. You may feel like, that's too much. I don't know if I can really fully understand that, but pray for God to give you faith to take him at his word, and he will show what he means, right? Practice forgiveness. Practice forgiveness in your life, but practice confession in your life. Come before God in obedience to admit that you have wrongs in your life. Spend time in the commandments of God and read them and study them, and you will learn what it means to be an obedient Christian who goes out when God calls you. Give yourself up to God as an ordinary bush and see the fire that God will bring from you. Just keep that burning bush. That bush, it's just a bunch of sticks and twigs, and it's anybody, could be anything, but God uses ordinary things like you and me, and he brings fire from it. He brings power from it because he is powerful. Pray for God to help you to remember the verse that says, I am crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. believe in him, that he can do things in you that are greater than the things that he did on earth, because he is going to send the Holy Spirit upon you and give you the power that you need in that way. And then finally, don't keep waiting for more instructions. Don't make excuses. Take God at his word. God, I'm so grateful for Luis Palau and for his mother and the way that they are helping our church today to be able to see these things that are so important. And so let us go from this place today ready to share the gospel and trust in the power of God to be at work and see the great thing that he's going to do. Amen.